For argument is Department of Education versus NCAA. Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Duncan, is this about the Firebirds, the name of the team?
No, Your Honor, it's not.
Well, I thought you were in that business. But,
we may be.
Sorry.
It's okay. May it please the court. With me on the brief this morning are Max Hiddle and Mark Quigley from the Krieg DeVault firm in Indianapolis, Indiana. This case presents a question about the confidential treatment. What confidential treatment should be afforded documents subpoenaed by the government from a non-party, a third party? First, it's important to note, Your Honor, that we're not here because of the NCAA's policy regarding Native American mascots. Although that policy has dominated headlines of late, I'm sure your honors have seen.
Yeah, get to the point, please.
Mr. Duncan, let me start you off.
Sure.
Do you have any empirical data, or would there be any way to collect it, demonstrating how much the NCAA's self-policing of collegiate athletics is influenced by governmental disclosure of information that was garnered pursuant to such subpoenas?
Empirical data would be tough to come by, Your Honor. A couple of responses. It is not unusual for the NCAA to receive government subpoenas. In fact, the NCAA frequently receives subpoenas, whether it's the Department of Education through the Office for the Inspector General. More frequently, it's the U.S. Attorney's Office in connection with the grand jury subpoena. It's not unusual at all. The second response to the question, Your Honor, would be the harm that the NCAA has felt from a situation very similar to this in Tennessee. That's the Fulmer. That's the Fulmer case.
Well, you know, the Fulmer case, where the disclosure led to the multi-million dollar lawsuit. In that case, there was a protective order in place, right?
Not exactly, Your
Not
Honor.
Exactly.
There were two things in place. One is Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, the so-called secrecy rule governing grand jury proceedings. The other protection in place was a promise by the Department of Justice, the United States Attorney's Office in Tennessee, that we, the Department of Justice, will not disclose these documents to anybody.
But it was not a formal protective order. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. It was not a formal protective order.
It was just an agreement.
It was an agreement with the government.
Huh.
Those protections, as you know, failed, and it was only a matter of days before the NCAA produced those documents to the government. After the indictment was returned, the United States Attorney produced those documents without notice to the NCAA.
I don't understand how your decision of this private association, the NCAA, to conduct investigations and so on, how that preempts government investigations.
It does not, Your Honor.
No, it did. Look, what you want, the Department of Education, for whatever reason, they want to investigate and get documents and so on. That's the government. The fact that you'd like to do your own enforcement, you know, that's fine. But I don't understand how you can displace a government investigation because you've set yourself up as a private police force. That's the basic weakness of your case.
And we have no interest, Your Honor, in displacing the investigation.
Of course
of the Inspector
you're
General.
Interfering with their investigation. They want these documents. You want to block it.
Actually, Your Honor, we don't want to
of
block it.
Of course you want to block it. You want this, what you call a protective order. It's really a privilege that will enable you to not, you won't always succeed in derailing their investigation, but you want this notice. You can run into court. You can have a lawsuit. You can tie them in knots.
Running into court is the last resort.
On the contrary, it's your first resort. That's why you want the 5-day notice, so you can run into court.
With all due respect, Your Honor, it is not
the
first
course. What else do you do with the 5 days?
First thing we would do is decide whether the disclosure would, in fact, compromise anything that
the NCAA... Yes, I know. But then what do you do? After you've decided it's going to compromise your private investigations, you run into court.
No, Your Honor, with
what
all due respect,
do?
We would contact the ultimate recipient, whoever that may be, and see if we could work out some basic confidential for the protection of those documents from that party. And often we can. The NCAA does not like to run into court.
What do you need the 5 days? Look, when you're dealing with these people, when people complain to you and so on, that's the point, that's the stage at which, in order to get inside the FOIA exemption, you say to them, you know, we have to have a confidentiality agreement in order to come within the exemption, right? They handle it that way.
That's one way to handle it.
That's the way to handle it, right? Then you don't delay the Department of Education's investigation.
And we
Why don't
no
you do it that way? Why is that inadequate?
Well, because the FOIA exemption may not apply.
No, I think it does apply. Your arguments that it doesn't apply have to show a specific harm. I don't see where you get that. It's not in the exemption. All the exemption requires is that the information have been submitted on a confidential basis. So you have to make sure the people who send you these complaints understand they're requesting confidentiality.
Well, the exemptions are, as you know, very narrowly construed.
No, they're not narrow. They're not narrow. And your argument about specific harm, that's only about 7A, and it's 7B that has the that is the broad exemption.
The bigger problem with the exemptions, Your Honor, is that the NCAA does not have the opportunity to exert those. We have to trust the Office for the Inspector General to invoke those on our behalf.
Who does the NCAA speculate that the information will be disclosed to? I take it the media, for one, but what other sorts of disclosure would have the sort of deleterious effects that, on the NCAA's operations that you've cited, you know, throughout the briefs?
Yeah, actually, Your Honor, the disclosures listed in the Privacy Act notice are extensive, paragraphs A through H of the privacy notice. It's actually a misnomer. It's more of a disclosure notice. Those are the people who can have access. There are paragraphs A through H. I think there were two paragraphs added later in the Federal Register. And the list is extensive. The list is broad. The first two, well, the first one is any law enforcement agency who might have an interest. The second, paragraph B, is anybody who they think they can get information from. They will provide our documents to them in anticipation of extracting information from that individual. And then there are paragraphs C, D, E, F, G, and H. So the disclosures are extensive.
Would you help me with this? It seems to me that a possible chilling effect on the NCAA's tipsters is not the standard sort of burden to operations that was envisioned by the unduly burdensome standard. So if you could give us some concrete examples of harm to the NCAA's actual ability to function as an organization that would result from the disclosure.
Sure, Your Honor. First, and most obviously and most specifically, this case, this ongoing open investigation file, will be compromised if the NCAA's...
Yes, but look, that's just the same. That's the same argument the media make for a privilege, and they don't get it from the Supreme Court with the Brandsburg case, right? It spoils, or it can spoil, a journalistic investigation if the sources don't have any protection. So you investigate, the media investigate, the media were denied a privilege. Why should you get a privilege?
Well, we're not asking for a privilege,
Your Honor. Of course you're asking for a privilege. Honestly, that's just words. You just try to throw sand in our eyes with words. You want to stop their investigation because you're not comfortable that they you don't think they give enough protection to the sources. And as Judge Rofner's question brings out, of course it hurts your investigation, but that's exactly the effect that denial of the privilege has on the press.
We have worked with the Inspector General's office. We want to support, not hinder, their investigation. I would also argue that the case is less like the case you cited and more like the Dow Chemical case, where this court was faced with a very similar situation, promises of nondisclosure, and the court not only found that those were insufficient and ineffective, this court struck the entire subpoena, didn't enter a confidentiality order, but instead elected not to enforce the subpoena. That is not the relief that the NCAA is seeking in this case. This case is easier, I suppose, than the Dow Chemical case. Instead of striking the subpoena, quashing the subpoena...
I don't know what the Dow Chemical case is.
We've cited it in the papers. It was an ongoing investigation, government subpoena to the investigators, the company doing the investigation, moved to quash...
Administrative or judicial subpoena?
Administrative subpoena, Your Honor.
OSHA or what?
Pardon?
OSHA? Whose subpoena?
I'll have to double-check, Your Honor. The representations by the governmental agency were similar to the representations made in this case here by the Office for the Inspector General. And the court found them insufficient and struck the subpoena. In an effort to be reasonable, Your Honor, in an effort to not interfere with the Inspector General's investigation, we're simply seeking basic, reasonable, confidential protections so we can produce the documents. The documents continue to come in. My office receives more documents in this investigation virtually every day. We're ready to produce those.
You say all you want to do is go to the people who submitted it and ask them to request confidentiality? Is that all you want?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't understand the question.
You want to go to the 5-day relief because you want to go to the people who submitted these documents and ask them to request confidentiality, or what?
If permitted, we would like to talk with the folks who submitted the information. If we are not permitted, we obviously won't do that. The first thing we would like to do is talk.
I'm asking, what do you want? Do you want to go to these people? And is that what you want?
Only if it would not interfere with the ultimate recipient's
use. I don't understand
you.
What do you want to do during the 5 days?
We want to talk with the ultimate recipient of the document and see...
The recipient? I thought you're the recipient, aren't you?
Whoever the Inspector General wants to disclose the documents to, we want to talk to that agency and work out an agreement with them that they will protect the confidentiality of our
documents. You want to talk to the Department of Education?
We want to talk to whoever the Department of Education discloses our documents to, whether that's the FBI, the Department of Justice, the United States Attorney. We want to talk to the recipient and see if we can work out with them basic...
You want to get between the Department of Education and the enforcement arms of the government?
No, Your Honor. We want to assist the government. We do it all the time while protecting the interests of the association.
I'm baffled.
This is something that you've done historically, is what you are saying.
It happens regularly, Your Honor. That's correct. I'm out of time. Respectfully, the NCAA would ask this court to reverse the decision below with instructions to enter the confidentiality order. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Duncan. Ms. Richards?
Good morning, Your Honors. If it please the Court, my name is Deborah Richards, and I'm an Assistant U.S. Attorney representing the Department of Education and its Office of the Inspector General.
Okay, what's so burdensome about 5 days?
It is the NCAA's burden to prove that it's burdensome to them to have a subpoena enforced, and they have failed in that burden.
So you're saying that the protective order that's proposed by the NCAA would be so burdensome to the OIG's investigation?
Judge, it would be the practical effect of the protective order would require the NCAA to insert itself into the OIG investigation. It would require the NCAA to be notified every time the OIG solicited advice from the Department of Justice as to how to proceed in the investigation. It would affect grand jury proceedings in ways that might even implicate the rights of the accused. It would require the NCAA to become aware of the entire OIG investigation and give the OIG either a choice of involving the NCAA in its investigation or just not dealing with the information and trying to go that direction.
Well, see, here's what I was wondering. Why didn't the OIG get the documents that it seeks directly from the University of the District of Columbia? I mean, is it really only interested in the documents that the NCAA prepared pursuant to its investigation of the potential violations at the university?
Your Honor, the OIG's power of subpoena power is very broad, and in an investigation, they are authorized to obtain documents from third parties, from any number of individuals who may have information relevant to this potential fraud investigation.
What is the understanding of the relief they're seeking? I didn't understand it from Mr. Duncan. So what is your conception of it?
Our understanding is that the NCAA would like to have notification 5 days, or in their brief they mentioned 10 days, prior to disclosure to anyone, whether it's a federal agency.
So they send you a document in response to your subpoena, and they want to show it to a grand jury or the Justice Department or someone. They want you to notify them that they're planning to give it to some specific, to show it to Justice Department or grand jury or something like that? That's
yes.
What they want?
Yes, Your Honor. And then they require 5 days for them to be able to negotiate or speak with, whether it's an individual, a third party, or a government agency, and try to reach some type of agreement for which the NCAA is satisfied.
So they want you to notify them that they've shown it, or that they want to show it to someone.
That we intend to disclose it.
Okay, so they want you to notify them. They intend to disclose it, let's say, to the Justice Department, and then you can't do anything for 5 days. And then the thought they would go to the Justice Department and ask them for something, confidentiality or what have you, and if the Justice Department refused, then they might sue.
That's correct. That's correct.
I understand what they say. Right, what?
And that would hinder the OIG's congressionally mandated investigation
but
and require courts.
Forgive me for interrupting, but do you dispute that this has been done historically? Is Mr. Duncan just wrong?
There were some protective orders that the NCAA presented in the district court. Those protective orders don't have anything to do with the OIG for the Department of Education. So there's no evidence that this has been performed
how
with
often,
the OIG.
How often do you subpoena documents from the NCAA?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of how the IG, whether there's other ongoing actions. However, the ruling on this court is far-reaching in that any self-regulating entity could try to say, well, you know, we have investigative documents as well that need protection, and therefore any government entity.
Well, I guess my question relates to... Have things been working, going along in the past all right until this last event where somebody in a U.S. Attorney's Office in Tennessee disclosed the document?
In the Department of Education does not agree with the protective order and feels that it would impact negatively its own investigation. And there's no question as to that.
Well, I understand it, but I gather from Mr. Duncan that there's a cooperative agreement between NCAA and the Department of Education in cooperation in the sense of them providing documents to the Department of Education for their investigations.
Are you, Your Honor, just in general, not this case? Certainly we want to work with the NCAA to obtain the documents that are necessary for our investigation. We do not agree to a protective order. And the protective orders that were provided as examples from the NCAA do not pertain to the Department of Education. Now, whether those are were effective or not, I think the NCAA's contention is that they were not.
You know, in the brief, you fault the NCAA. You fault them for failing to provide evidence that witnesses have stopped coming forward with information on account of the Fulmer, a lawsuit that Brother Caney speaks of. How would the NCAA obtain such evidence? I mean, doesn't their very reliance on confidential tipsters make obtaining such evidence literally impossible? I mean, where do you get a confidential tipster if the tipster knows that, you know, she isn't going to be confidential very long?
Well, tipsters come forward for a lot of different reasons, and whether there's confidentiality only as to limited parts of the investigation, I think the NCAA would be hard-pressed to say we will give you confidentiality for a criminal action or whatever. So as far as what evidence the NCAA could bring forward, I think what is part of the record is that they did not bring evidence before the district court other than speculative and conclusory evidence. And if you look at this particular evidence that they brought...
I thought you said in your brief that you were going to give these people confidential protection to the extent consistent with your investigatory responsibilities.
And, Your Honor, there are already existing methods to provide protection for personal information and for confidential informants and so forth through FOIA, through the Privacy Act, through the OIG policies and procedures. And there's just no need for some additional layer of protection from the NCAA to insert itself into that process and then require courts to micromanage the IG investigation through a litigation process.
You may not have the power to answer this question, but would the OIG consider agreeing to a protective order limited to the release of information, limited only to the release of information in response to third-party requests, FOIA, congressional requests, and didn't cover information disclosed internally pursuant to the OIG's own investigative efforts?
Your Honor, the Department of Education would not agree to a protective order, and the reason for that is that the IG, the Inspector General Act of 1978 is very broad, and had Congress wanted to provide additional protections to these type of information, they could have done so. And in fact, Congress did for the Department of Justice, and it provided special provisions for the Department of Treasury, but they did not do so for the Department of Education, even though it was obvious this type of information would be the type of information the IG would be handling.
So what recourse does the NCAA have if all of these internal policies, you know, that you explain have considerable protection? What's their recourse if those policies are breached?
The NCAA's recourse As the district court brought up in its opinion, with regard to privacy information, financial information, dates of birth, Social Security, and so forth, the NCAA may not have recourse. The individuals who own that information would have protection under FOIA and the Privacy Act to bring a suit on their own behalf.
So there is no question, I take it, that the NCAA's powers will be eroded as to investigations without this. I mean, this is the first of these cases, correct?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
The NCAA's powers in its own investigation is not eroded. I mean, they are not contending that they cannot still investigate. They're saying that it's likely, in Mr. Price's affidavit, that it's likely tipsters may not come forward
well,
as freely.
Forgive me. They have this Vollmer case now. That's quite an object lesson, isn't it?
Well, that is an interesting complaint that was attached to the materials that were presented to the court. And when you look at that case, it actually indicates that the third-party coach, Mr. Vollmer, and the NCAA spokesperson is who alleged to have made the disclosures, and that the NCAA itself made disclosures on ESPN. That's part of what's in that complaint. There's no indication in the complaint that the government disclosed the information to the public. And while that complaint talks about the lawsuit that's been filed against the NCAA, it also indicates that the NCAA filed a lawsuit first against the plaintiffs. So how meaningful that evidence is, it really doesn't seem to bear on this issue.
In other words, you're saying it wasn't necessarily the government that disclosed.
There's no indication in that complaint that it was.
Isn't it true that your investigation can lead to criminal charges, right?
Yes, it can.
And so you're using the NCAA to obtain information who may have committed criminal acts?
The IG is able to obtain information from all sources of information, including the NCAA. And indeed, with the self-disclosures that the University of District Columbia made to the NCAA, that may be particularly meaningful evidence.
You described the NCAA as a self-regulating entity. Does it have any official standing? Does it have is it like the New York Stock Exchange that is private, but you know it exercises various public responsibilities?
Well, I am not sure how the NCAA is, if it's on the stock exchange. I believe it's an unincorporated
charter or something. Is it vested with governmental powers?
Your Honor, it's not. It would not be vested with.
It's a private association.
Yes, Your Honor. In contrast, the IG is responsible for ensuring that the tax dollars are being spent lawfully and for their intended purpose.
Why would people in this University of District of Columbia case, why would they have complained to the NCAA rather than directly to the government?
I don't know, Your Honor.
I'm concerned with misuse of federal funds. So presumably, the whistleblowers, they could have blown the whistle in your direction, right?
Absolutely.
But they may avoid sanctions by the NCAA by self-reporting, too. Right?
That's correct, and allow their own athletic programs to go
but
forward.
Then they won't be chilled, right? If they're required to whistleblow, then they'd have to, wouldn't they?
I would assume so.
Could it be that they're less afraid of the NCAA than they are of you?
Well,
I think that's true.
there are probably different levels of sanctions for each of the two entities. Your Honor, the United
States... What about the Dow Chemical case? I don't know that case. Do you know that case?
Your Honor, I am not familiar with that case. Dow Chemical would appear to, just by the name, implicate proprietary information. And if the court would like more information on that.
Okay, we can look it up. That's no problem. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Richards.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Duncan, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Very briefly, Your Honors.
Did Ms. Richards describe correctly the relief you're seeking?
I don't believe so. The NCAA is concerned not about our...
Well, you're concerned. What is the relief you're seeking?
The relief that the NCAA is seeking is just a few days' notice to give us the opportunity to work with the ultimate recipient.
Wait a second. How is that different from what she said? She said what you want is notification 5 days before the department is going to hand any information it got from you to someone else. And they notify you whom they plan to give it to, and then you have 5 days to do whatever you want.
That's correct.
Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
So why do you say you disagree with what she said?
Perhaps I misunderstood what she said. I thought the court was asking about our disclosures.
No, I was asking what relief you're seeking.
The NCAA is...
Not your underlying motives, just your relief you're seeking. So she described it accurately.
I believe so. A basic confidentiality order.
What she was saying and what Judge Kaney was suggesting, that U of D.C. and people working for it and so on really have strong incentives to complain to the NCAA because they might be disfranchised, whatever happens when you get in trouble with the NCAA.
The NCAA and the Inspector General are investigating different things. The NCAA is investigating compliance or noncompliance with its own operating bylaws.
Yes, but that's, you're not responding to my question. Don't these people have a strong incentive to complain to you, to self-report, in order to ward off some terrible sanction, like getting their, I don't know anything about the NCAA, but getting expelled from the association and losing television revenues and all that?
They do have an incentive.
They do. So what are you worried about?
The NCAA gets information from people other than member institutions who have that incentive. There are other people in the public, former student-athletes, former coaches, former employees, media members, lots of people who don't have that same incentive. And it's those sources that have no incentive and will not come forward absent reasonable
assurances. Well, then they'll complain to the government, right? What difference does it make whether they complain to you or complain to the government?
We're investigating different things.
I don't understand you.
The NCAA is investigating UDC for alleged violations of NCAA bylaws. We make no comment on whether those same actions may also violate United States law. That's for the Inspector General.
In other words, whether Division II athletes receive so much money in their basketball program, right?
Exactly. Whether a student athlete is eligible or not eligible to play is all that we care about.
Well, what was U of D.C. accused of?
Well, in the Inspector General's investigation, they're accused of waste, fraud, and abuse of public funds. That's not the NCAA.
What concretely involved?
I don't know, Your Honor. All I know about it is the subpoena.
What's the NCAA violation?
The NCAA is looking at whether the student-athletes are eligible, whether the student-athletes properly receive academically eligible. That's why this investigation file is
packed. They obviously overlap, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be asking for these documents. So what would be an example of the overlap?
Your Honor, I'm sorry. I don't know the scope of the Inspector
General. What the documents
General's.
Are they want, don't
I know
you?
What the documents are, and
right,
I know that they're...
those documents?
The documents are filled with academic history, which is not overlapped. The documents also contain financial information,
yes, well,
housing information.
Yes, what do they say about use of federal funds?
There is the information in the documents that's responsive to the subpoena regarding the housing of student-athletes, and we are ready, willing, and able to produce those documents. Just with the basic confidential protections. I see that I'm out of time.
In other words, are you saying that you would hand over everything with names redacted? Is that what you're saying?
We would provide.
Bottom line.
We would provide the names. We would provide responsive documents to the subpoena, to the Inspector General, with this basic confidentiality order in place.
What? Now you've lost me completely. No. You give them the documents, but then you want your 5 days in order to block the actual disclosure to anybody else.
We want the 5 days in the event that they are required to further produce those documents, in the event that they are required to hand over the paper, the NCAA's paper. They can use the information for any and all purposes in their investigation, but before they hand over our paper and lose control of it forever, we want a few days' notice to have the opportunity to make some decisions.
Do you have particular entities in mind that you would object to and others you would not?
No, Your Honor, we don't. That would be a decision we would make during those 5 days.
5 days or 10 days?
5 days.
What sort of decisions? That's what I think we're all trying to get to. What would the decisions be?
The decision would be whether the disclosure, what the disclosure is, what they intend to disclose, who they intend to disclose.
That's not a decision.
Based on that information, we would decide whether that disclosure would compromise anything that the NCAA is doing.
What's the decision? What's the action?
The decision is whether to...
Action. What is the action you take?
The action is whether to communicate with the ultimate recipient of those documents and work out an agreement whereby...
That's the decision, working out. So you try to work out. And suppose the Justice Department says, you know, get lost. We want these documents. We want to prosecute these people. Then what do?
That's the worst-case scenario, Your Honor. And
you answer my question. What do you do then?
We would move for protective order.
Another protective order?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's privilege. That's a privilege you want.
It's authorized under existing law. It's
modification. Look, the protective order, if they never get the documents because they have this protective order that goes on indefinitely now, no more 5 days, that's the equivalent of a privilege, right? You're secreting a document from them. That's a privilege. They want the document. You say no. You go into court, say to the court, we don't want it. We want you to give us this perpetual protective order. That's a privilege.
Could you give me your worst-case scenario? Is it the Fulmer case?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who did disclose the information?
Counsel, with all due respect, misunderstands the procedural posture of the Fulmer case. The chronology is this. The NCAA produced the documents to the United States Attorney pursuant to a grand jury subpoena. The grand jury returned an indictment. The U.S. Attorney further disclosed those documents to counsel for the accused. They were published in their entirety on the Internet and in the Tuscaloosa newspaper. There is a count in the complaint. It's a separate count against a separate defendant for statements made on ESPN unrelated to the documents entirely. That allegation is not as against the NCAA, it's as against an individual who spoke on a television program. The NCAA absolutely did not disclose those documents.
Do you have a lawsuit with this person?
That individual is named in the complaint.
Own lawsuit. You sue him?
He's one of our employees.
One who's suing you for $50 million?
No. The plaintiff in that case is a student athlete whose name appeared and whose mother's name appeared in the documents that were disclosed.
Do you have a law? Do you have your own? I thought Ms. Richards said you had sued him.
After the documents were disclosed and after they appeared in the newspaper and on the Internet, the NCAA did initiate a declaratory judgment action in Tennessee to try to stop the bleeding. That case remains pending.
So you sued first, and then he sued you for the $50 million?
That's correct.
How frequently do you receive subpoenas from Education Department?
They're not all from the Department of Education. We get both judicial subpoenas and administrative subpoenas.
Well, I guess my question is, has the system before this lawsuit worked fairly well before?
It has, Your Honor.
It wasn't until this lawsuit, the one in Tennessee, that you thought it necessary to try to get some judicial determination.
That's correct, Your Honor.
It's basically a new world, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Out there. None of this would happen, I take it, without the Internet, without everyone in the world wanting their 15 minutes of fame on TV and the newspapers. Is that what you're saying? That times have changed?
Times have changed about the same time you have the Fulmer lawsuit. It would be nice if we could rely on verbal assurances, on internal practices, internal policies. And the reality is, Your Honor, we tried and we just can't.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Duncan and Ms. Richards.